discuss just for a few minutes, Yom Kippur Katan. Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. And Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, there is a minug to have an elaborate mincha. And the mincha, basically, there are slichas. It's unique. There's no comparison. I'll go over the nusach. Before the Shemona Esrei, you start off with Tefila Le'oni. There's a mizmar. Tefila Le'oni Ki Ya'atayv. This is really what a lot of the mafarshim, they focus on this pasuk. A prayer for the poor man, ki ya'atoif, v'lifnei Hashem, yishbech sichoi. The prayer for the poor person when he envelops himself in his talis, or he wraps himself up, not on his talis, but he wraps himself up in his problems, and before Hashem, he pours out his speech. The poor man, he is crushed. Ki ya'atoif. Ya'atayf literally means to wrap yourself up with a garment. But here it means to wrap yourself up with your trouble, with your tzaras. And certainly this year, we're all together ani. Ein ani ella bidas. Ani, Chazal say, means there's no such thing as poverty except in knowledge. And one thing we all can say about the matzav, we're aniyim. We know absolutely nothing. All the questions we had about Corona, whatever it was, 5 months ago, are the same exact questions we have today. I remember the first time I heard about Corona, the very first time, so I said to myself, what happens if you get Corona? Is it possible to be healed? It means you have it the rest of your life. It means you die. What happens? Can you get better? Is it possible to get better and for it to go away? And I asked someone, they said to me, I don't know. I the first time I heard about Corona, I thought it meant if you get it, you got it the rest of your life. And you might die from it right away. You might die from it like in a few weeks, in a month. But there's no cure. Once you got it, it's like a disease, like Rahman al-Islam, like AIDS. That's what I thought. That was the first question that I had when I heard about Corona. If Corona is like AIDS, like we all know about people who have, I mean, now they have medicines and stuff, but basically, Rahman al-Islam, a person who has AIDS, he has it for the rest of his life. And it used to be that a person has AIDS, it means he would die prematurely. He would die way before his time, just a matter of time. And now they have medicines. So what are the medicines? Are the medicines just, they stall. The medicines just, you know, they push off the dying. They push off the ability for the disease to take the person's life quickly. But it doesn't go away. I don't think today there's a cure. The best of my knowledge, there's no cure for AIDS. And there are many diseases in that category where once a person catches it, doesn't go away. So that was my first question that I asked about 5 months ago regarding Corona. What does it mean? You get Corona and then what? I remember the person says to me, I don't know. And guess what? It's 5 months later, and if you ask the question, what does it mean if you get Corona? Does that mean you have it the rest of your life? Is it still in your blood? What does it mean? And go ask anyone, they'll say to you today, 5 months later, I don't know. No one knows anything. What does it mean? If you once had it, does that mean now it went away? You're cured? You're immune? But you still have it? You don't have it? So, it's amazing after all this time, the ignorance in what this is all about. What are the long-term effects? What are the short-term effects? How does it spread from one person to another? We still don't know. You're going to tell me that we understand how it spreads from one person to another, and if you're going to wear a mask, it's going to stop it from spreading? Come on. This is a big guessing game. The whole thing is just a big, big, no one knows anything. We take precautions. Maybe it spreads, maybe it doesn't spread. So, it doesn't hurt. Why should you take precautions? Why shouldn't you not take precautions? It's amazing, after all this time, after all the greatest minds of the world breaking their head over this for months, we're back to zero. There's a vaccine? You really believe that in Russia they have a vaccine? You really believe that? The vaccine really works in Russia? I don't know. No one knows nothing. Ein oni ela bedaas.
There's one person that does know.
Who?
Biden.
Biden doesn't even know who he's married to. Hamaven Yavin. But we don't know nothing. Ein oni ela bedas. This year has been a very humbling year to mankind. And now when we come to the new year, when you say these words, Tefila le'oni ki ya'atoif. The words are very real. They're very, very real words. A prayer for the oni. Why today? Today, a lot of people are participating in a Yom Kippur Katan. I'm also planning to go. I don't really go for this stuff. I have a hard enough time davening mincha in general, concentrating. I'm usually very tired. It's very hard to daven mincha. So when it comes to Yom Kippur Katan, I'm not from the Asar Rishonim. But I feel today, you know, I should make an effort to go because of the matzav. In the shul that I'm going to, Rosh Shmidman, I never saw them do this. They sent out a lot of texts. They keep on sending out. Today we're having a Yom Kippur Katan Minyan, and the Ezras Noshim is open. They never do that. They never make a point in saying that the women's section is open. They never ever do that. They send out a lot of texts, a lot of WhatsApps and texts. All of a sudden, and the Ezras Noshim will be open. We encourage the women to come today to Mincha, to Davin, Yom Kippur Katan. So, you know, they're taking it very seriously. So, you know, obviously, why this year? Obviously, because we're coming to a new year, and this year has been a very hard year, been a very painful year in so many respects, and it's just very, very frightening that the opening words of Yom Kippur Katan, which for some reason, when you study Yom Kippur Katan, there are a lot of svarim today that have been published to give more flavor to what is this tefillah all about. And you can't publish a sefer today or a kuntres about Yom Kippur Katan and not devote probably the most important chapter to explain the opening words of the tefillah. The opening words of the ceremony are Tefillah le'oni ki ya'atayf. The prayer for the poor man when he envelops himself. This year, those words are so true, it stings you like a bee, the words Tefillah le'oni. Because Chazal say, Ein oni ela bedas. And forget about the fact that people lost their jobs, and people don't have parnasa, and people are frightened, worried out of their minds, what's going to be in the future regarding parnasa. Forget about the pashup shot of la'ani. But when you want to go say la'ani means, Ein oni ela bedas, this year has been a humbling year for mankind, where they don't know nothing. Everyone is in a state of confusion. They have no plan, no goals, no way to deal. You know why? Because we're ignorant. We're ignorant in dealing with our enemy. We do not know what to do. And what do? Ki atoif. We envelop ourselves in our problems. We wrap ourselves up in our misery. And the only solution that we have is v'lifnei Hashem yishpoich sichoi. Before Hashem, we pour out our conversation. We pour in our conversation. The truth is, for 95% of the population that's coming to coming to Yom Kippur Katan, they will have absolutely zero clue what they're saying and what's going on. The only benefit will be is that when they'll daven the Shemone Esrei part, that they anyway daven on a regular mincha, at least they'll be davening today with a minyan, and at least today they'll be concentrating a little bit more. So you need all of the dressing and all of the flair of Yom Kippur Katan and all the text messages and all of these very bizarre mystical things that we append to the davening. For most people like me, for 95, maybe even 99% of the population who's coming to Tefillas Katan, they have no clue what's going on. But at least when they get to the part of the davening that they do know what's going on, the Shemona Esrei, at least that part, they'll be more respectable, it'll be more about Kavadik, they'll pay attention, they'll daven, they'll have a little more Kavana, and they daven the Shemona Esrei. And that's what it's all about.
Then people fasting, they stay in Einu also.
No one's fasting. You're in the very heart to find the minyan where 10 people are fasting. I highly doubt in any of the minyanim in this neighborhood you're going to have 10 people that are fasting. Hardly that.
I thought you were going to say Yad Tov means we have to cover up, wearing a mask or something like that.
I hear what you're saying. I don't like that shot. But don't remind us of the obvious. Don't remind us. But Yad Tov obviously over here means you envelop your push up shot. You envelop yourself in your misery. And this year, the Ani, we're all together, Aniyam, Inan, Elvedas, and we're all enveloped in our misery of uncertainty of how to go forward. What's the plan? What's the plan forward? Well, you can't have a plan if you don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know what you're dealing with. I heard someone told me yesterday some crazy things. A school in Flatbush, they purchased, I don't believe this even, but this, they told me, they purchased. It's a rich school, obviously. I think it's a Sfarish school. For every single student in front of their desk, they have plexiglass. A plexiglass attachment to every single desk in the school. So when the students sit in class, they're not going to spread their germs. You believe that? You know how much that must cost? And is it really practical? Is it really practical? Look, over here, they have over here, two such devices over here in the room that I'm sitting over here. Two plexiglass screens. One for the people who give shiurim here in the shul. Every single student's gonna have one of these things in this school they purchased. That's a lot of money, number one, and it's very complicated. But obviously, people are so confused. They're so distraught. It's not so simple. Okay, after we say this mizmor in Tehillim of Tefillah Aniki Ya'atov, then you say there are like some like I don't know these like slichos, they're sort of like slichos, the yud gimel midos, basically it's slichos. You say pretty much, you say it's Most of the Nusach, let me just review the Seder Hadvar. Okay, you start off with Ashrei, and after the Shemona Esrei is over, you basically say a long collection of Slichas. That's pretty much what it is. And in some shuls, if you'll say Avinu Malkeinu, depends on the shul. Okay, and a lot of it has to do with Korbanos. Okay, I'm not gonna go through the whole Nusach because I don't know it myself, and I didn't really spend time preparing. I just wanted to bring out that point. I wanted to bring out the point about the Tzilul Ani, and I want to tell you this one other vart which I remember I once told you before. And two short ideas about Yom Kippur Katan. Number one, this is a mashal. It's a mashal for Yom Kippur Katan. Years ago, we don't find people with, I can't really judge. Many people, not everyone has a practice to say Yom Kippur Katan every Erev Rosh Chodesh. Now, by the way, there are 4 months where we do not have at all a Yom Kippur Katan. What are those 4 months? Tishrei, the four Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's impossible to have a Yom Kippur. You don't have a Yom Kippur because anyway, it's Slichus. Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah, we anyway say Slichus. We anyway, it's a very long davening. So Erev Rosh Hashanah, which means Erev Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, there is no Yom Kippur Katan ceremony. The Mincha before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So the Mincha before Rosh Hashanah, you would expect, oh, we'll have a Yom Kippur Katan. No such thing. We don't do that because the whole Seder of Nusach HaTfilah is scripted for the Yom Noraim, which includes what we're supposed to do Erev Rosh Hashanah. We don't have, some say it's not really true. Some say we really should have a Yom Kippur Katan Erev Tishrei. And the reason why we do not is because there's just no time. It's Erev Yom Tov. You're busy. You're busy making your preparations for Yom Tov. So it's just not practical. Because it's not practical, that's why the minhag is we do not have that, because there's any halachic reason why you cannot. If you want to really have Yom Kippur Kodun on Erev Rosh Hashanah, technically why not? However, we do not, because it's just not practical, because it is Erev Yom Tov. The next time we do not have a Yom Kippur Katan is in the month of Teves, in the month of Erev Rosh Chodesh Teves. Why not? Because Erev Rosh Chodesh Teves is in the middle of Chanukah. And in the middle of Chanukah, it's just not practical. In the middle of Chanukah, you can't. It's a Yom Tov. And in the middle of a Yom Tov, you cannot have a Erev Yom, a Yom Kippur Katan. Another, the next month when you cannot have is Iyar. Why not? Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar, because Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar is still Chodesh Nisan. And the entire month of Chodesh Nisan, we do not recite Tachanun, we do not fast, we do not deliver eulogies. Chodesh Nisan is a month that's off limits. Therefore, we do not have an Erev Yom Kippur Katan on the last day of Nisan going into Iyar. And what is the last month? The last month is, so we've gone through over here, Tishrei. We've gone, now also another month is Cheshvan. Okay, Cheshvan. We do not have a Yom Kippur Katan before Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Why not? Because it's Tishrei. The last day of Tishrei is Erev Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and Chodesh Tishrei is a month of celebration. It's the Chagim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. It's not proper to introduce into this month a fast day, a day that is devoted to Slichos, when it's the Yom Tov, it's the Chodesh of Simcha, Chag HaSukkot. So, Sach HaKol, to review, there are 4 months in the year, 4 Rosh Chodoshim that are not introduced with the potential for Yom Kippur Katan. Number one is Chodesh Tishrei. The day before Chodesh Tishrei is Erev Rosh Hashanah. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, we're busy. In the morning, we say very long Slichos, and Mincha time, it's right before the Yom Tov, we do not have a Yom Kippur Katan. The next month is Cheshvan. Cheshvan, we also do not have a Yom Kippur Katan Erev Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, because the last day of Erev Chodesh Cheshvan is the last day of Tishrei. And in Tishrei, it's a Yom Tov, it's a celebration Yom Tov. We don't have a Tainis on Yom Kippur Katan. Really, we should be fasting. The third month is introduction to Teves, because it's Chanukah, and Chanukah you don't have Yom Kippur Katan. And the fourth time we don't have is as an introduction to Iyar, because it's the last day of Nisan. So these are the 4 months that we do not recite Yom Kippur Katan. Okay, the next point I want to make is a very beautiful mashal. I remember I once told this to you a long time ago. I remember this mashal is that Mashal Lamad, why do we have to have a Yom Kippur Katan? It's called Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur, to do Teshuvah. Many people were really, were supposed to fast. And if you fast, then you're going to say Aneinu in the Shemoneh Esrei, and Avinu Malkeinu, and you learn Vayechal. You do all of these things when you fast. Why do we need to go and have a fast day called Yom Kippur Katan when we have a fast day once a year on Yom Kippur? The Tzoyma Rabba. The Tzoyma Rabba, Yom Kippur is called the great fast day. The Tzoym, the fast that is Rabba, that is great. And that's why this day is called Yom Kippur Katan. It is small. Its smallness is relative to the greatness of the big Yom Kippur. The big Yom Kippur is the 10th day of Tishrei. That's the Yom Kippur, the Tzoyma Rabba, the great fast day. So today is the Tzoyim Katan. Why is it? So why bother? We already have the big day. So here's the mashal. Mashal ma hadavar doyme. There was once a chassid, and the chassid was traveling. He wanted to travel to a big city, and he gets on the train. And who did he see on the train? He sees a gevir. He sees another person, a very wealthy person, and they're sitting on the train. And somehow he sits next to him, and the train goes. And then the train, in order to get to the destination, the ultimate destination, which is far away, they have to go pass through, let's say 10 different cities. They're traveling to the big, big city. It takes a whole day to get there. But on the way, the train stops off at these little shtetlach. Just like you go on the subway, there's the local, the express, you have to stop off. The little stops before you get to your destination. So he sits down next to the gevir, and the gevir, they're sitting down, and the train is going, and all of a sudden they come to the first stop, the shtetl, the first little. So this poor man, he picks up his packages, and he gets ready to leave the train. So the gevir says, "Where are you going? I thought you told me you're coming with, you're going all the way to the end, to the big city." So he says to him, "Listen, you're a gevir, you're a rich man. When you bought a ticket, you bought a ticket to go from the first stop all the way to your destination. It costs a lot of money. It costs $100 to buy a ticket to go, to sit on the train, to entitle you to sit on the train from now until the end of the day when you reach your destination. I'm a poor man. I can't afford to go buy a ticket for $100 to reach my destination. I can barely put together a couple of dollars to buy a ticket to go to the first town. I'm a shnora. I made a collection this morning in shul, and I put together $6. So $6, I was able to buy a ticket to go from A to B. And that's it. They're going to throw me off the train. My ticket only allows me to go to the city. It costs $6. I got to get off the train. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to sleep in the street. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be a shnara. I'm going to go to the shul in this local town. I'm going to go make a collection. Hopefully, I'll be able to collect enough money tomorrow morning in order to go buy a ticket to go to C, to the next town. And then I'll sleep in the street overnight and go in the morning and be a schnorrer and try to get some food and collect a few more dollars to go to the next town. Hopefully, maybe within a week or two, I'll finally make it after humiliating myself by making a collection in every single town to collect a few dollars to buy just a cheap ticket to get to the next town. I'll meet you at your destination. You're a gevir. You're very fortunate. You can have enough money to get on the train and to buy one ticket that will take you all the way to your ultimate destination. And who knows, you probably bought a ticket, you could sit first class." That's the difference between people who have observed Yom Kippur Katan and those that never heard of it. Many people, they never even knew, what in the world is Yom Kippur Katan? The people who never heard of it are tzaddikim. They're righteous people. They buy one ticket. Yom Kippur, the Tzoyma Rabba. They fast on Yom Kippur. They do Teshuvah. And that Yom Kippur carries them the whole year. The whole year, from year to year. So in the previous generations, we don't really find, I can't tell you, but it doesn't seem like in the past, people were so enamored with Yom Kippur Katan. You know why? They were very good people. They were solid people. So Yom Kippur was a Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur carried you the whole year, like a gevir who buys a ticket that takes you to your ultimate destination. You don't have to get off every single stop. But in our generation, we're aniyim, tefillah le'oni ki ya'atov. We're poor people. Our Yom Kippur does not get us through the whole year. We're lucky if the Yom Kippur will get us to the next day, unfortunately. So what do we have to do? Every month, we got to get off. At every stop, we got to go make a new collection and go and reassess, recalibrate, and do teshuvah to get to the next month. Every month, we need another Yom Kippur because we are begeder aniyim. We're not the Oshir in Ruchnius. We're Aniyim in Ruchnius. We need to go make many, many stops. It's a very beautiful mashal.
Based on what you said, Rabbi Levine, that there's only one more Yom Kippur Katan until after Hanukkah. That's
correct. That is correct. That is absolutely correct. Because this is going to be Elul, and then there's no Yom Kippur Katan for Tishrei, and there's no Yom Kippur Katan for Cheshvan. And then when it comes, there will be for Kislev. There is for Kislev. There is for Kislev. There is a Yom Kippur Katan for Kislev.
It's only one.
And in Chanukah, you go two. You skip right until Chanukah. Exactly. Only 8 times a year is there. Now, by the way, when Erev Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, or even Erev Shabbos, then the minig is to push back Yom Kippur Katan to Thursday. We typically do not observe Yom Kippur Katan on a Friday. So when Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos, or even if Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, if Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, or Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos, the minog is that to observe Yom Kippur, those who do observe Yom Kippur, to observe it on Thursday. Most of us do not observe Yom Kippur. The only time that became more popular is the Yom Kippur Katan of Rosh Chodesh Elul. This is something which always has been popular. Some want to argue that the Iker Yom Kippur Katan was only established for Elul. It was only when this was created, whoever created this Nusach and this Slichos, it was only established for Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. It was not established for all of the Rosh Chodashim. However, it's clear as day that it's been accepted to be observed every Erev Rosh Chodesh, with the exception of the 4 that we mentioned. However, even though it is accepted, you definitely can do it, and sometimes we do it, when Rachmana Litzlan is an Eitz Sara. However, in the world today, we don't find people getting too worked up about Yom Kippur Katan. The only time we do find people getting worked up is Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. In the yeshiva, the Bnei HaYeshiva, in the yeshiva world, by the big major yeshivas, it's something they take very seriously. Only Elul, only, not the other Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul in the yeshiva, by the Bnei HaYeshiva, has always been a serious time. But other Rosh Chodeshim, no. You've never really seen it. Okay, they're always minyam. You can go, I'm sure, in Landau's and in Shoyim HaShabbos, you'll always be able to find the Yom Kippur Katan minyan in every Rosh Chodesh. Particularly, Rosh Chodesh Elul is something which people take more seriously. And indeed, this year, you see, people, I know in the shul, I daven pretty often, I don't daven it all the time, but I told you this, they never did this before, not that I ever remember. I think this year is the first time they're making a Yom Kippur Katan minyan, and I told you they're inviting women to come as well. Obviously, because of the matzav, they feel there's a special tevia demand, people should be more serious. Okay, one last idea before we go, we conclude this short topic. And that is, why indeed is it called Yom Kippur Katan? I told you the simple reason is because Yom HaKippurim in Chazal is called the Tzoima Rabbah. the great fast, the Rabbah. So that's called the Rabbah. So what is called the Zutar? What then is called the small? And the answer is, well, if the Yom Kippur Gadol is big, so then this is going to be, the other ones are going to be minor. Now let's have a little bit of a drush. There's an ancient question, age-old question, goes back from time immemorial. The question is, we have a principle in the Torah called Sur Meira Va'asei Toif. The ideal approach to religion of doing teshuvah is first to let go, to remove yourself, to distance yourself from evil, from bad, and then you can begin fresh. If we would follow that pattern, then Yom Kippur should come before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the new beginning. It just comes upon us. Here we are. Oh, it's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Tov. It's the Yom Hadin. The Yom Hadin HaGadol. And mi yichye mi yomus, mi bikitzay, mi loy bikitzay. All these scary things. And then after Rosh Hashanah, what's next? Oh, now let's do teshuvah to undo the damage. Wouldn't it make a lot more sense that we should first have Yom Kippur? We should first have we should have 10 days of teshuvah, Yom Kippur, leading up to Yom Kippur. And then after Yom Kippur, we'll take a little break, have a coffee break, and then, and now will be the Yom Hadin, Rosh Hashanah. After we've cleansed ourselves from our impurities, our sins, now we can come to the Yom Hadin feeling good about ourselves, and we'll have a very nice Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yikosevon, it'll now be... Don't you think it would be better? Isn't that the Darkoi Shel Olam? The Darkoi Shel Olam is that if you're going before a judge for sentencing, so before the sentencing, this is the way the world works, you send in letters and letters and you beg him and you have people talk to the judge and you talk to the politicians of Rachmanis, 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 and then comes the Yom HaDin HaGadol. You come into the courtroom and there is the sentencing. That's the way the world works. You don't go first, okay, you did a crime, okay, put you behind bars, 25 years behind bars, solitary confinement. Oh, now what do? Now you'll get all the lawyers, oh, we got to go undo it, and you start screaming, it's too late. Sonny boy, it's too late. It's infinitely more difficult to undo a bad verdict than to work and hustle to persuade the judge, to show the judge that you're doing teshuva in advance, that he should not give you a harsh verdict. So it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It should be first Yom Kippur and then should be Rosh Hashanah. Sur Meira Va'asei Toif. That's the Chiddush of Hashem. It's the Tzoyma Rabbah. It's a very great day. The Ribbono Shel Olam has such rachmanis upon Klal Yisrael that he gives us, okay, I don't even know how to explain this, and you have to delve, this is an age old question, which I don't have clarity to answer this question, and you can say whatever you want to say, but in the Torah, it is an act of kindness from the Ribbono Shel Olam that to teach us the koyach of doing teshuvah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants adarabah, the teshuvah should come after. First will be the Yom Hadin, and now you'll do teshuvah. Now there's an advantage to that. What's the advantage? The advantage is your teshuvah cannot be sincere unless you really know what you're dealing with. No, it's like a reality check. Until you go to the doctor and he takes your, does blood tests. Before you go to the doctor, think about it. Before you go to the doctor, do I have high blood pressure? Do I not have high blood pressure? Do I have cholesterol? Do I not have cholesterol? Do I have this? Do I have that? I don't know. It's a very big mystery. I don't have the equipment. I don't know what's really going on. What do I know? Okay, so you go to a meal. Oh, they're serving over here this food is full of trans fat. It's full of sugar, full of salt, sodium. Should I eat it? Should I not eat it? Well, I don't know. Why not? I feel good. Do I really know what's doing in my blood? I don't know. So what do? You eat it. You'll take your risk. I won't wear a mask. I'll eat the food. It's probably more dangerous to eat the food by the kiddush than not to wear a mask. The food is bigger, more poison, what they're serving by the kiddush, than worrying about the guy next to you killing you with corona. The food is poison, so you eat the food, right? Then you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know something, I did a blood test, and it's high blood pressure, and you have this, and he scares the living daylights out of you. And then it comes the next Shabbos, and they put in front of you all the poison, and you don't eat it. Because the reality has sunk in. And now you're doing teshuva. My teshuva, I'm not going to eat this poison. It's going to kill me. Because I know I have in front of me my numbers. I have the data. You can't really do a real teshuva unless you know what you're dealing with. The Yom HaDin comes down upon us with such harshness. It shakes us up. We go through the Yom HaDin, and we know, you can get a sense, when you're sitting in Shul and Rosh Hashanah, you know what's, you know what you're holding, you get a sense. Now, you know something? I have in front of me the numbers. I better shape up, because if I don't shape up, I'm gone. It's a much more potent teshuva. But there's a disadvantage. What is the disadvantage of doing that mahalach? Once the verdict is in, you really think your teshuva can undo the verdict? Doesn't work like that. Once the sentence has been laid out, has been signed, to undo a harsh verdict is infinitely more difficult than preventing a harsh verdict. So we're caught between a rock and a hard place. If there are advantages and disadvantages, if the process of teshuva would be first do teshuva, and then will be a verdict, our teshuva would be half-baked. Because we don't have a sense of reality. We don't have a reality check. It would be a shvach teshuva. On the other hand, if we do the din first and then do the teshuva is not going to work, because once the verdict is in, to undo it is impossible. You can't undo it. What you really expect? You're going to go after they seal your case. You're going to have the judge undo the verdict. You know what that takes? It takes years of lobbying and money. It's once the verdict is in. It's in. What are you going to go do? You're going to go for an appeal? Yeah, you're going to spend your whole life running after appeals to go to this court, that court. Impossible. Do the teshuva before the verdict, so they won't give you the verdict. So manafshach, whatever we do is no good. If we do teshuva first, it's half-baked. If we do teshuva afterwards, it's not going to work. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I am not a judge like a baser v'dat. I'm going to give you all of the advantages. I'm going to give you the reality check first. You're going to come into the office. I'm going to take your blood. I'm going to put in front of you all the numbers. I'm going to scare the living daylights out of you. I'm going to issue you a psak. But guess what? I'm not like a judge, bus of a dam. You don't have to go spend money to go get a lawyer, to get an appointment, to go to the appellate court, to have a hearing. So you should have an appeal. No, I'm not like that. I will give you the appeal on the spot. I will let you undo the verdict. The Ribbono Shel Olam, as an act of kindness, an incredible, incredible act of kindness, Dirshu Hashem B'Yimotzai, B'Yosei Korov, allows us the best of both worlds. He gives us the reality check, so we know where we're holding, and he allows us to do teshuvah, and then Yom Kippur, he undoes the verdict. Mamish. Not like it is in this world where you really can undo once it's already signed. That's the chesed of having Yom Kippur after Rosh Hashanah. The Tzoyma Rabba, the great day. But what about the truth? Now let's take a step back. Every Chazal tell us that every Rosh Chodesh is a me'ain of Rosh Hashanah. There's a din. We don't realize, we don't appreciate this, we don't talk about this, but just like there's a Yom Hadin on Rosh Hashanah for the entire year, every Rosh Chodesh is also a semi-din on every single Rosh Chodesh. There's a semi-din. It's a Yom Hadin. So let's repeat the process. We have to do teshuvah. It's a reality check, like going for a doctor's appointment and it's giving you the numbers. So Rosh Chodesh comes, and after Rosh Chodesh, we should have then a fast day to undo the verdict. Hashem says, what are you kidding? What do you think? Once the verdict is in, the verdict is in. Too bad for you. Too bad for you. What, you want to go for an appeal? No appeals in Shemayim. Too bad for you. Okay, but what can we do? We can do teshuva in advance. But wait a minute. Doing teshuva in advance is not as effective. I'm sorry, but that's the only option you have. So on a regular Rosh Chodesh, we follow the ordinary rules. First comes Yom Kippur, and then comes the Yom Hadin. Tomorrow is the Yom Hadin. It's Rosh Chodesh. It's a Zman of Din. That's Chazal say, every Rosh Chodesh is a Me'ein of Rosh Hashanah, there's a Din. What's going to be? We don't appreciate, we don't know how these things work. No one ever came back to tell us what goes on in Shemayim, but that's our Emunah. Before the Yom Hadin, you got to do Teshuvah. Because once the din is signed, you're not going to be able to undo it. So you have to do teshuva, erev the Yom Hadin. Yom Kippur comes before Rosh Chodesh. Oh, but what about the Yom Kippur Gadol, the Tzoy Merabah? That's an extra special chesed that Hashem does once a year. Count your blessings.
What about Hashanah Rabbah? And some say
those are mystical days. Those are in a chanami. There's Hashanah Rabbah. There are all these mystical days. But let's just talk about the basics. We have a Rosh Hashanah, is a Yom Hadin, and we have a Yom Kippur. We have every Rosh Chodesh is a din, and every Rosh Chodesh is preceded by a Yom Kippur Katan. Why is the Yom Kippur Katan of a Rosh Chodesh come before, whereas the Yom Kippur Gadol comes after? Rosh Hashanah is the big din, and 10 days after the big din is a 10-day process of Yom Kippur, which comes after. Every Rosh Chodesh is a din, but every Rosh Chodesh, the Teshuvah, is before. The answer is because the real way, the correct way, to do teshuva is sur meira va'asei tov. Yom Kippur comes before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Chodesh is a Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is erev Rosh Chodesh. That's the normal, ordinary way. Sur meira va'asei tov. Do teshuva now, so that when the verdict comes tomorrow, they should go easy, because once they give you the verdict, you're not going to be able to undo it. Oh, but you're going to tell them, but I don't really have a reality check of where I'm holding in life until I sense the din. Well, that's your problem. That's your problem. Sorry, buddy, we can't help you with that. You got that. That's your problem. You do the best you can to get a sense today. Tomorrow's the Yom Hadin. Elul, it's Rosh Chodesh. You don't know where you're holding? Well, figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, there's nothing we can do for you. It's a problem. But that's life. Life is full of problems. Yom Kippur comes before. What about Rosh Hashanah, the big Yom HaDin? Gevaldik! There's a big Yom HaDin. Dear Hashem, dear Shu Hashem, b'motzai did a chesed, an awesome chesed, where he gave us the Yom Kippur after the Rosh Hashanah, to give us the ability to completely be, the teshuvah should be just as effective as if it was before, with the benefit of having a sense of reality from Yom HaDin Rosh Hashanah. That's why it's Rabbah. It's great. It's a great chesed that Hashem has done with Klal Yisrael. A chesed that we cannot even begin to repay Hashem for this chesed. But the regular Yom Kippur, like today, is koton. It's small. It doesn't have that degree of chesed. It's normal. It's expected. Okay, so hopefully this puts everything in perspective. Perspective, skedai. Now, if you wouldn't have a Yom Kippur katan, then you wouldn't appreciate what the Yom Kippur gadol is about. You would not appreciate what it means, the tzayma rabba. How can you appreciate the tzayma rabba if you don't have the tzayma katan, the Yom Kippur katan? When you have both together, the contrast of the ordering seder is speaks volumes in appreciating. The nature and the purpose of this day. Okay, so it's basically it's all slichos. Now, one thing I find very interesting is liturgy, nusach, melody. We all know that we have melodies that are sacred. There are certain sacred melodies that you don't tamper with. On the Yomim Noiroim, there are certain parts of the Yom Noiroim we always with Aleinu, the first brachos of Avos. First brachos, there's certain melodies on the Yomim Noiroim which are sacred. Today, a lot of modern or contemporary, whatever you want to call them, of chazanin, they feel the need to give the davening a little spice to awaken the spirits of the youngsters who don't necessarily relate to some of the more ancient melodies. So they embellish the davening with some modern melodies. All right, that's fine. We all go for that, but there are certain parts of the davening which are ancient. Some will tell you that it goes back to the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Some will claim it Aleinu, the Nigun Aleinu, that whole Nigun, that whole Nigun goes back to the time of the Beis Hamikdash. And then we know there are other the whole year round. There are certain, like for example, Akdamus. Akdamus Milin. Na 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 na. And what about the laning? And what about Megillas Esther and Koheles? And there are many melodies which are ancient. Now, not everyone knows this, is that the melody of Yom Kippur Koton is also sacred. I don't know how far back it goes, but it's unique. And very few people know the melody. Not too many people know the melody. There's a melody. Where you daven today, put a tape recorder. Put a tape recorder by the Amud. And it's interesting, the melody, where do you even get the melody? Years ago, it wasn't so easy even to get a tape of the Yomim Noiroim. Today there's quite a lot of stuff out there, for the Yom. In fact, this year, I have an ongoing relationship with the Shliach Tzibur, the Baal Musaf in Chaim Berlin, of Nochem Aryeh Feuer, which I adore, and I am amazed with his, musical talents and his koyach. His power in nusach and so I saw years ago long stories about this about asking him to record his nusach, which he did years ago as a favor, but you know he didn't want to do it. But Masha yaseh hazman lo yaseh haseichel, and in fact he almost came to me. It was really through his family that he really now wants to record his nusach from beginning. And you know, over the years he developed it. It's completely different than it was when he first started. It's like totally different. And this year, I went to Muncie special. I brought him, I got a hold of some equipment from Torah Anytime. I stole some equipment from, I borrowed some equipment, some very high quality equipment. I got a hold of, they let me use. I brought it to him, like really high, expensive, professional equipment. I taught him how to use it. He told me that everything that I told him, he totally forgot. He had to go online and learn how to do it, learn, figure it out, how to do it all over again. And over the season, over Corona season, he himself had Corona. He was very, very sick, in fact. Baruch Hashem, he's much better now. But he did a professional recording. It's amazing. A professional recording of the Nusach HaTfilah, Mamish, from beginning to end, with every variation, every Nusach. It's awesome, awesome. Enormous amount of work. And, you know, I gave it to the yeshiva. I told them this is the property of the yeshiva. It's a record for them. I myself distributed it to four of the chazanim, who daven an affiliate minyanim. And the yeshiva is giving also, this, especially this year, where everyone's getting broken up and splintered into little groups because of corona and social distancing issues. So there are going to be a lot of minyanim this year. And a lot of people who daven there. Chaim Bolin's nusach is unique. It's different. Yeah. It's not. There are certain nusachos that are very popular. It's called the Torah Vedas nusach.
Right.
It's called, and that nusach in Lakewood. People, for whatever reason, they want to hear what they're used to. They're used to a certain thing, comes to Yavim Noiroim, they want to hear what they're used to. In Lakewood, this is what they want. In Lakewood, they had last year, they had four massive minyanim. They have very choshev balei tefillah, and they all do the same nusach. That's their nusach. Their nusach is almost identical to the nusach in Yeshiva Torah Vedas. Okay, and it's because it started there. That's where the nusach really started. It's a certain nusach. It's unique. It's a certain whatever it is. It is what it is. And then there's a chevroin nusach. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a nusach called the chevroin nusach, which is very, very popular in Eretz Yisrael and the yeshivas. And then I'm not familiar with all the nusachos, but then like in a regular shul, you go to a regular shul, there's no nusach. There's whatever, you know, the shliach tzibur, he puts together what he likes. You take a little from Chevron, a little from Torah Vedas, a little from this tape, a little from that tape. There are certain traditional classic things, you know. But the truth is, nothing is the same. There are no two shuls in the entire world that do Aleinu the same. You think that, oh, there's only one way to do Aleinu, right? Aleinu is the traditional Aleinu. Aleinu. It's not true. Maybe the first word is the same, but go into the second, third word, it's not the same. Every single yeshiva, every single shul does, you know, the basic melody is the same, but it's not the same. And people are used to hearing what they're used to hearing. And there's certain very popular, like let's say you have a yeshiva that started out 50 years ago, and they have alumni, and they have their own like minyanim. So you know it mushrooms, and people are used to hearing what they're used to, and it, you know, there's a certain, you go to a regular shul, so in shuls they don't necessarily have a nusach. They have a shliach tzibur who knows his crowd, and has a very beautiful voice. And knows what he can do. Not everyone can do the same thing. You have to have a certain koichus to do certain pieces in a certain way. And you have to have an audience that appreciates what you're doing, or else you're wasting your time. And to each his own. But today, all I can tell you is today, there's so much stuff out there. There's a lot of stuff with technology. With technology, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of nuschois out there that you can get a hold of. And if a person is a Baal Tefillah, has a beautiful voice, and wants to, you know, train and wants to select what he's comfortable doing and what his audience wants to hear, it's out there. But one thing I can tell you that's not out there is Yom Kippur Katan. Yom Kippur Katan is the Lone Ranger. Yom Kippur Katan has a unique melody, and very few people know it. And even those who know it, very few people really know how to do it well. And what can I tell you? I don't even know where to find it. I know I used to, when I was in Tar V'Das, they had a Yom Kippur Katan, and the person there, he knew the Nusach. I don't think he was the greatest Baal Tefillah. Can't say that I really enjoyed his davening, but he knew the Nusach. He knew the Nusach very, very well. So it's interesting when you go to one of these minyanim. Anyway, I think I went to Chaim Berlin one year. And years ago, when I was in Chaim Berlin, they also had the Yom Kippur Katan. And the Baal Tefillah, they didn't really know it. You know, they just faked it. They faked it. Whatever, they don't take it so seriously. They just, they you know, whatever they do, they do. But if you really want to find, if you do happen to find someone who really knows the Nusach, let me know. I'm curious. I like to hear a good performance. A good, you know, it would be interesting to hear. All right, so that is just the tip of the iceberg. We discussed Yom Kippur Katan. We discussed Chazal. What did we learn over here today? We have 4 days, 4 days when we do not recite Yom Kippur Katan. Yom Kippur Katan gave the mashal of going on the train. The Tzoyim Rabba ideally should carry you the entire year. Unfortunately, we all together in Oni. We have to get off at every stop. Everywhere Rosh Chodesh, we need a little boost of Yom Kippur. And what is the trademark of Yom Kippur Katan? Besides the Tefillah La'oni, it's the end. The end is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, and Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed 7 times. Okay, that's like, you know, the Ne'ilah. The Ne'ilah, you have that by Yom Kippur Katan. You end off with what they call Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, just like what you do at the end of Yom Kippur. You know, it's interesting. You know, you can really ruin everything. I'll tell you. I remember a mashal. Right now, it triggered a memory. I remember many years ago in the Young Israel of Avenue J, they never say Yom Kippur Katan. Wherever, it's not the place for it. But there was one year we did it. There was one year when there was an ace tzara. I don't remember what it was. Maybe there were terrorist attacks in Eretz Yisrael. There was one particular year, I don't remember the details, where my father made a Yom Kippur Katan minyan, and he encouraged very much people to come. But because of the environment, the people did not have, people that didn't have really the patience to, like, you know, to do it right, to dive in, like, you know, Yom Kippur Katan, it can take an hour. It can take a very long time if you really do it right. So it was going to be an abridged version of Yom Kippur Katan. Just going to gobble it up. And I vaguely remember the end. The person, he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. Like, it was so bizarre, the end, because normally, even in the simplest shul, when it comes Ne'ilah, and you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, 7 times, Baruch Shem, 3 times, Hashem Elokim, 7 times, even in the simplest shul, you say it slowly, with a lot of kavana, take it very seriously. And it was just very disturbing that, you know, we're on a clock. People are not really interested. We just, you know, we're coming here for Yom Kippur Katan, and it's gobbled it up. They gobbled up Shema. No one's full. I'm just saying, it was just brr, brr. And even the very end was just just to you know, finish it up in 2 seconds. It's very disturbing. It's very disturbing. If you're going to do it already, do it right. It's damaging, because if you go and get into this tone, they get used to saying, normally you only say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad Baruch Shem 3 times Hashem Elokim once a year. It's sacred. There's something to it. There's something to doing something once a year. When you start doing something very, very often, and it has no meaning anymore, and then when it comes time, the main times of the year when you have to do it with a lot of seriousness, it takes away. It's very disturbing. You have to be very careful not to allow something extra that you add into your life to detract from the core of your life. Many people, I've heard this many times, are very, do not approve of Nusach Svart, they say Slichas every single day. Hashem, the Baganu, Gozalnu, every day you say Slichas. When you say Slichas every single day, and you clap, then when it comes to Yom Noroim and you say Slichas, it means nothing. Because if the whole year you're going, you're clapping the whole, every single day, but Shachas and Mincha, Nusach Svart, so when it comes to time when you really need to do it, for real, you lose your whole flavor. Ashkenaz, Nusach Ashkenaz, they never do it. Never. They never say Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu. Not because they don't do Averos. Come on, we all know we all do Averos. But the Nusach is sacred. And when you do it once a year, the Tkuv of Elul, it has a different flavor. Okay, there's a psychological, obviously there are different types of Jews, different strokes for different folks. Some people, more the merrier. Some people have a different sensitivity. To each his own. Obviously, to each his own. Not everyone is the same person. Everyone is different. But Yom Kippur Katan, it shouldn't become a, it shouldn't do damage. If you gobble up Yom Kippur Katan, you come to Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Hashem Elokim, and there's no flavor. There's no intensity. It's not good. Because then when it comes to Yom Kippur, when you really need that intensity, and you already in your mind is damaged because there was no intensity, it bothers me. It's something which something to think about. All right, I spent all the time on this. I had no plan on doing this. I really want just took 5 minutes about Yom Kippur Katan and spend the whole shiur today on learning, on giving a primer for the laws of Sheva Brachos, especially all this incredible new stuff I've learned. I never knew the stuff before about Shabbos. The laws of Sheva Brachos on Shabbos, the first meal, the second meal, the third meal, Shalosh Seudos, Seudos Shlishis. So that we're going to have to say for tomorrow, because we spend the whole time on Yom Kippur Katan. Enjoy your Yom Kippur Katan. You can say B'Yechidus also, by the way. If you don't want to go to Shul, you can say B'Yechidus. It's a little hard stuff there. They'll figure out what you're saying over there. But any event, Hashem should be mekabel the tefillos. We should be zeichet to a year of good health and bracha, a shef of parnasa, and nachas and bracha and success. B'chol asher yifne. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Rabbi Levine.
Be well. So, Mayor, what are the comments in the peanut gallery? What are the comments of the peanut gallery? New?
No. You can wrap up the whole davening at the one day a year, and we're all done. That's my comment.
All right.
I don't go for that argument.
Okay, I agree.
We have to learn how to daven.
That's right.
And that would be the solution. Not say this only once a year.
The solution to all the problems, I'm telling you, I firmly believe, my full heart and soul, the solution to every issue about davening is to come very early to davening.
Exactly.
Very early. If you come 15-20 minutes before the scheduled time to davening,
is she coming down?
All the problems go away. Every single problem. You'll memela won't talk. Memela, you'll learn about davening. You'll just somehow you'll pick up svarim to explain the perish amilois, the depth. Every single issue will disappear.
Yes.
If only we would come to davening at least 15 minutes, be there, sitting down in our seat, 15 minutes before the davening starts. And all these campaigns, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, maybe even more, on these campaigns, don't talk during davening, don't do this during davening, 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 prayer with fire, is baloney in my eyes. Because it's all misdirected. The focus should be to come early. Get all the giving shiurim online, all these things. The maila of coming 15 minutes.
I'll call Vahansky or wait till Chavi comes
the
down.
The campaign should be not.
Am I taking her?
Eshi, close your phone. Rabbi Levine?
Yeah.
For the record, I'm on your side, and I'm glad you repeat that every once in a while, because you give me a chizuk to try to come early. And
I really believe that. I believe my full heart.
But on the other side of it, it upsets me that there are good yidden. Not only don't they come early, they come late. I'd like to tell them it's not the right thing to do, but I'm not the one to tell them because I'm not such a good guy. But if I can come early for myself, I'm happy. Baruch Hashem.
Early, you see so much bracha comes. The people that come early to daven, the different types of people. Their whole lives are like, they're very different types of people. When you come to shul, they're already there. They're sitting there, they're davening, they're saying Tehillim, they say brachas. These people, they're like, everything about them is different. And just to get into that disciplined mode of, if you're gonna come to davening already, come 15 minutes early. Every day, that's right, every single day, come 15 minutes early. What are you spending the 15 minutes? Well, you don't have 15 minutes to, you don't waste every day 15 minutes? People waste hours on the biggest mishigas. You can't go find 15 minutes. If you're anyway going to come to davening, so come 15 minutes. It changes your whole mind. Such a different world.
Okay, Mirz Hashem, it should be a good kibbutz year.
Amen. Amen.
Yeshua's to everybody.
Amen.
Keep up the good work and have a great afternoon.
Bye. Take care.
Okay,
Ksiva Chasima Tova. Ksiva Chasima Tova, good Ben Shiar. A special good year to Tamari.
A special good year for you, for your sister.
Amen.
Separately. Alright, I'm going off.
Alright, take care. Have a good day. Take care, take care.
Thank you very much. Also, we're talking about Parish Millers, if they would teach the kids when they were very young. Parish Millers, then they'll appreciate davening. Not when you're like 20 years old or middle age or old age like me. All right.
Zagazin. You're a young guy. You're only 18 years old. You still got 2 years to go.
Just ask my wife to tell you how old I am. I do a very good krechts. Okay, I gotta go.
Okay, take care.
I get it.
Take care.